Good morning, everybody. It is November 14th. No, November 12th. I was looking, the time is 11:14 and the day is 11:12. I'm looking at my computer screen and getting the two mixed up here. But it's November 12th. It's supposed to get up to 60-some degrees here in Littleton, Colorado. Beautiful sunny day. And we're going to have hamburgers for a meal afterwards, so it's amazing. Today I want to get a little bit into the Word. Let's go to the book of Acts, chapter 1. There's an interesting book right here, if you can see my screen, called The 13th Tribe.
Yeah, I've heard that years
ago. The 13th Tribe?
Yeah, 13th Tribe, yes. And it's by, what's the guy's
Arthur
name?
Kessler?
Arthur Kessler, K-O-E-S-T-L-E-R. And basically him, he documented, there's some other people that have documented, that the Jews that were put in Israel in 1947 are not the same Jews that were in the Bible. And we're for several years, we were being inundated with, we got to stand with Ukraine. You know, got to stand with Ukraine. The big bad Russians are attacking Ukraine. Well, turns out the war in Ukraine was actually started by President Obama. And the Russians didn't start it. We, the United States, did. So, you know, they want you to either stand with Ukraine or stand with Russia. And I don't really want to stand with either of them. I'm not a big fan of either of those countries. And now that one's kind of wearing out. So they got the new thing is we got to stand with Israel because the wonderful Israel of the Bible is being attacked by Hamas and so forth. And, well, I see Israel and I see Islam, I see Judaism and Islam, I see two groups of people that both need to get born again. The Bible says in Corinthians chapter 10, we're not going to go there, you can if you want, but there's three groups of people. There's Jews, Gentiles, and Church of God. And so we're always being told that, oh, we need to stand, the Muslims are so terrible, we need to stand with Israel. Well, that country of Israel, that's where we got Jeffrey Epstein from.
Oh.
Yeah, he was Mossad's, their secret service. And he would go around and he would get people drunk. And then he would film them in bed with underage women, and he'd use that to blackmail them so they could people would do stuff that they wouldn't normally do, you know. And he's got on his list of people that have been in his pedophile island. There's senators, Supreme Court justices, it goes on and on. So the thing is now let me backtrack a little bit. I have nothing against Jewish people. I think I know several people that are Jewish. They're absolutely marvelous people. I have nothing against Arabs. They're, again, they're marvelous. You know, one is one group of people. There's nothing wrong with them. What I don't like is their governments. Same thing in Ukraine. The people in Ukraine are marvelous people. The people in Russia are marvelous people, but they have crooked governments that fight wars against each other. And the whole purpose of the wars is money laundering. There's people that get rich off of these wars. So, you know, I don't really want to see the Jews fight the Muslims. I don't think that's a good thing. I feel sad for anybody getting killed in a war. I think they're all marvelous people. But I don't want to send them our money, and I don't want to send them our troops. I sure as hell don't want to see our troops over. You know, we spent 20 years in Afghanistan. What did we accomplish? We recently were in drove to the airport, and the guy that drove us grew up in Afghanistan. And oh my God, he will tell you stories about how bad Bush and Cheney and Rumsfeld and those guys were, and the terrible things they did to his country. And it was all just so the military-industrial complex could get rich. So, why am I getting into all this stuff? This is sort of the background. Acts chapter 1, verse 6. Yeah, get my reading glasses here. When therefore they were come together, I'm in the right verse. They were come together, they're saying, Lord, at this time are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? The Jews in the first century were obsessed with, they knew they had this long history of defeating enemies. Like about a year ago or a year and a half ago, I did a teaching on, Gideon, that defeated, he went in with like 300 guys and they defeated, the enemy was so many they couldn't even count them, tens of thousands. And with 300 guys and trumpets and pitchers, Israel had this long history of defeating their enemies. Well, the Jews in the first century and many other times, they got arrogant. And they thought that just because of their bloodline, they'd be better and they could take on the Roman Empire. And see, they're basically, they wanted Jesus to be a military leader. They didn't want, and Jesus didn't come. His kingdom, the first time, wasn't of this world. When Jesus will be King of Kings and Lord of Lords is when he comes back in the book of Revelation. That's when he'll be a king, and that's when he'll be a military leader. But right now, he's not. In this time, in this Bible verse here, he wasn't. In verse 7, and he said unto them, it's not for you to know the times and the seasons which the Father has put in his power. He said, but the big thing here, the real important thing is you're going to receive power after Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. See, God's vision for the Jews in the first century was that they would become a royal priesthood. It talks about that in Peter. They would become a royal priesthood, and they would go throughout the whole Roman Empire and use that Roman Empire to teach the Word of God. But they were stubborn and stiff-necked, like they kind of were throughout most of the Old Testament. And they wanted to do it their way. They wanted to defeat Rome. They wanted to be the great military power. Look, because we're Jews, we can just send in 300 guys with Gideon and we're just going to win. And about 70 AD, they went to war with Rome and they lost badly. And finally, Rome said, you know, these Judeans, they're really kind of a pain in our backside. We're going to split them up and put them in small groups all over the world. And they won't have enough where they can ever revolt against the Roman Empire again. And so basically the bloodline got dispersed. And that's where this book comes in. Because the Jews that you see today are basically descendant of, they're called Ashkenazi Jews sometimes. They're descended from the Khazars. And they were proselytes. And they became a proselyte, well after the time of Christ. They converted, and then there was a whole group of people, and that was basically the Jews that were in Europe. And so most of the Jews that are in Israel, probably less than 5%, actually have a bloodline they can trace back to Isaac and Abraham.
Wow.
So it's also interesting, I was talking, Diane and I, we were talking about this the other night, and I came to the realization that the Jesus Christ really had to come in the first century, because if he had waited much longer, the Jews, because God had to send the Messiah. He had a covenant with the Judean people. He had a covenant, the Old Testament law. He had a promise to send them a Messiah. and they were on the verge of going to war with the Roman Empire. This was about 30 AD here in the book of Acts, and so it was about 40 years later, about 70 AD, that they actually went to war. And so God had to send the Messiah while that country was still intact before they self-destructed by taking on the great military power at that time. I mean, the Romans, they were very efficient at warfare. They had taken over pretty much the whole Mediterranean area. It was the whole known world. They didn't go off into some of the... They were even up into England and a lot of parts of Europe and so forth. And they were very efficient and they were very good at what they did. And Israel without God, they had no chance of winning that type of a war. So that's why the Messiah had to come. It was the fullness of time at the first time, because God, the window of God being able to fulfill that promise was only in the first century. If he'd waited till the third century, it would have, I don't know, God made it figured out a way. God's God, but you know, this made it a lot easier that he came at this time. So let's go to Romans chapter 10. Here's a section of scripture we all see, and we all, let's see, I'm in Corinthians. We need to go to Romans chapter 10. This is where we know it. We can go, and when we want to witness to somebody and teach them about the new birth, we go to Romans 10, 9, and 10. So let's look at the context here. Romans chapter 10, verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God is that they might defeat the Roman Empire. Yes! Let's go to war! Yeah, we got to give them better tanks and so forth. I love that when Tucker Carlson was interviewing Mike Pence, Mike the traitor Pence, and he's saying, well, yeah, what are you going to do for our cities? Our cities are all basically breaking down. The cities all across the country are breaking down. And he says, well, I think we need to send tanks to Ukraine. I'm not too concerned about our cities. And he just basically put his foot in his mouth. And, you know, and...
He said that was not his concern.
That was not his concern.
America yeah. was not his concern.
Yeah. Yeah, that dude's never going to get elected to anything again. There ain't more than about 5 or 10 idiots that would support that fool. But anyway, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer for Israel is they might be saved. He wasn't concerned about them being a great military power. He wasn't concerned about restoring the kingdom. He was, verse 2, for I bear record that they have a zeal for God. Yeah, they had a lot of zeal. Sometimes the zeal was in the wrong way. You read in the book of Acts, where Paul, later, Paul visited Jerusalem, and Peter, or no, it was Jesus' brother, James, that's right. James said, look, there's all these people believe, but they're all zealous for the law. They wanted to maintain their tradition. And they were all still wanting to defeat the Roman Empire and reestablish the kingdom. They have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. You know, we read in the book of Acts, every time Paul would go around, he'd get a bunch of Gentiles born again. And then good old James and the Judean legalists and their great zeal for the Old Testament law, they'd follow him around. They'd have these guys that follow around behind him and say, well, you know, you guys, yeah, you're born again, you're speaking in tongues. But, you know, unless we cut some skin off your penis, you're not really saved. They had one to circumcise them. You know, in the Old Testament, that's part of the law. You know, we were talking about some of the strange religions before, you know, we started the meeting. You know, like we were talking about the Shakers, how they went away because nobody wanted to join a religion with their strange beliefs. And nobody, you know, God no longer had that covenant in the Old Testament where you had to do those things. We're not saved by being circumcised. We're saved by accepting the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 5, Moses describeth, I love old English, Moses describeth the righteousness which is in the law, that a man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in our, you know, basically, it's a parenthesis there. Let's skip that. Let's go to verse 8. But what saith it? The word is near, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. The word is the word of faith, which we preach. Here, now we get to the verse we all know well. We've memorized this. We've quoted it so many times. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. Now, it doesn't say Christ. It says Jesus. Because they have that man that they crucified. Now, remember, what was that verse? Remember, if you go to John 18, you see where they were crucifying Jesus in Pilate. Where they weren't crucifying him yet. They were. It was the trial, and Pilate was just a Roman guy. He was a bureaucrat. He really wasn't a crooked man. He was basically just a politician. And they bring these religious leaders hated God, and they hated the truth of God, and they hated the Lord Jesus Christ. And they wanted him dead. And they brought him to Pilate and said, you know, we need to crucify this guy. He says he's a king, and you're the king, so, you know, we need to get rid of him. And so, finally, Pilate found nothing wrong with him. And so, they had a thing at the Romans instituted this thing that at the Passover, they would excuse one of the people that was to be crucified. And Pilate figured, well, surely this guy, you know, he's just a religious guy, you know. They'll want him back. He didn't really do anything bad. So he said, who do you want? You want this guy, Jesus, or you want Barabbas? Well, Barabbas was one of those political fanatical guys that wanted, the reason he was going to be crucified, he'd been doing things, probably murdered some Romans, and was involved in insurrection against the Roman Empire. And he figured, well, they would surely accept Jesus. No, they wanted Barabbas, because they wanted the guy that would fight the Romans. And they turned on Jesus. That's why it says here, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. The guy you rejected, he's the one that's the way to God. And thou shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And I'll read a few more scriptures here. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. See, in the Old Testament, we all know the Jews had a leg up on the Gentiles when it came to salvation. They were God's chosen people. Well, that covenant ceases to exist. The minute Christ was raised from the dead and was ascended, a new administration's available. And that's what he was telling them about on the day of ascension. You guys are all worried about fighting the Roman Empire. That's not what this is about, guys. This is about power of Holy Spirit coming upon you. And then this is what gets you in the door, making Jesus your Lord. Verse 12, for there is no, oh, I already read that. Verse 13, whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And it doesn't say whosoever shall do the Old Testament law shall be saved. It doesn't say that anymore. That door is closed. That chapter is over. It's done. So let's go to, same thing here. Let's go a few verses down, chapter 11. Chapter 11, verse 1. I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. I also am an Israelite, the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. And I've got to love King James. Wot ye not? What? 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 What's that word? What? No, it's Old English. It means, know ye not what the scripture said of, now it says in King James, Elias, and that's Elijah, how he made intercession to God against Israel. And he was talking about how they killed, you know, in the old, even back then, the old days, they killed the prophets. Verse 3. And then in verse 4, he talked about how, you know, Elijah, he was kind of having a bad day, and God said, well, look, there's still 7,000 that stand with me. I've, you know, you're not the only one. All right, let's go to John chapter 15. This is where I was going to start. But now you take all that into account, and then this will make a lot more sense. Oops, I'm in Luke. Let's go to John chapter 15. And chapter 15, verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. What's a husbandman? It's somebody that's married? Huh? No, it's like a farmer, the guy that's taking care of the vineyard. So every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it might bear more fruit. And basically, he takes care of the vine. You know, it's like I have a grapevine in my backyard. You gotta trim it. If you don't take care of it, it just goes wild, and then you got, you know, over here you got a little bit of grapes, and 50 feet over here you got something, and you got all this, and so you give it an infrastructure, a trellis to grow on, and all this stuff. And then this year the squirrels were going in and eating my grapes, but anyway, I digress. So Jesus Christ is the vine. You don't get to God without being part of the vine. And this was before the day of Pentecost. He's teaching this, but basically, he had to come to Israel. Basically, Jesus Christ was an apostle. He was the Son of God, but he was also an apostle that was telling us, and a prophet that was telling us of the new administration that's coming. And it's no longer you're going to be judged by, you know, how well you do the Old Testament law. You're going to be judged by following the Son of God. You're going to have to abide in the vine. That's how you get eternal life in the future. Verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. Now, if I go out, I trim my grapevine in the backyard. When I trim it, I throw the trimmings in the compost pile because it rots and it breaks down. It makes new soil that will grow stuff with in future years. It no longer bears fruit. Without being in the vine, it dies, it withers. Same way, us without Christ, we don't get to God. And that's true for Israel. And that's why, you know, you see all these things all over Facebook. I stand with Israel. Well, I'll stand with any Israel person that comes to Jesus Christ. Those are the people I stand with. Because there's neither Jew nor Gentile. We're all one in Church of God. And I see the Arabs, and I see the Jews, and I see a whole multitude of people that need the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how I look at it. And they need to quit fighting each other and accept Christ and come to God. But unfortunately, there's going to be wars there until Christ returns. And, you know, it's the same thing like the war in Ukraine and the war in Afghanistan and all these other stupid things. There's always going to be wars because war is from the devil. You know, sometimes you have to defend yourself, and it's a godly thing to do to defend yourself, but most of our wars are just money laundering. There's no defense at all. So, where did I? Did I read verse 5 yet? I am the vine. Yeah.
No.
I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. It's like I was saying, those little grapevines, I cut them off. I always hate when I accidentally trim one off that's got little grapes starting. Because the minute I trim that off, those grapes are never going to mature. The fruit's no good once it gets severed from the vine. If a man not abide in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them into the fire and they're burned. Well, in my case, I don't burn it. I put it in my compost pile. But same result. Verse 7, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. For as the Father hath loved me, so I have loved you. And continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. You know, and it says somewhere else that Jesus said, my burden is light. You know, the burden that he puts on us is light. He had to die. He had to be crucified. He had to be tortured. He went through a lot. We got it pretty easy. Verse 11, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants. See, in the Old Testament, they were servants. But we're no longer servants. We're sons of God. I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go forth and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and that whatsoever you shall ask, and that word ask is demand. And that's basically, I like to look at the promises of God as blank checks. And it's like, okay, God says we can have health and prosperity. So that's a blank check. And we can sign that, and we go into the Bank of God. They got a branch right here in Littleton. You know, I like to go. The tellers are the nicest tellers you ever want to meet. They never make a mistake on your account. And you go in, and you demand full payment. You don't go to God. You know, a lot of people go to God and say, oh, Lord, I'm not worthy. Well, right, we've been made worthy by Christ. By our own flesh, we're not worthy. If we abide in the vine, we're worthy. If we abide, we're worthy. And so we don't go in and say, oh, could you please give me, instead of $100, can I have $5 so I can go get a cheeseburger for lunch? No. You say, I demand full payment on this check. And that's not being rude or impolite. That's being doing what God wants you to do. He wants you to demand things, and whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, I have chosen you out of the world, and therefore the world hateth you. Let's see, how far do I want to go? I might just go all the way to the end of the chapter. I'm doing all right on time here. Yeah. Verse 20. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. See, there's some people in the world that love God, and there's some people that hate God. And sometimes you run into people that hate God, and when they see us, God's messengers, they just hate us, and there's not much you can do about it. You know, you just shake off the dust of your feet and go on to somebody else. Let's see, where was I? Verse 22, I guess. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. That's an interesting. They had not had sin. That's, how do you diagram that sentence? Gotta love old English. But now they have no cloak for their sin. See, before their sins were hidden, or they didn't have it, but now they don't. It's not only that, and that's one of the things that Diane and I pray for every night. We pray for that God exposes things. See, the ministry of Jesus Christ, part of his ministry was proclaiming there was a new age coming, an age of grace, an age where we could get simply accept him as our Savior, and we could abide in the vine, and we could have eternal life, and we could ask God and get answers to prayer, and on and on and on. But I was going to make
a good exposed truth.
Oh, yes. Thank you. I lost my train of thought. I got... But also, one of the things he came to do was Jesus Christ came to expose the works of the devil. Before the four Gospels in the Old Testament, you see there was a devil, and you could see sort of what was going on, but it wasn't laid out openly. He laid out the devil and the devil spirit kingdom, and he gave his followers power that they could kick out those spirits. And they would, you know, like the time he kicked out the legion, the guy had a whole legion of spirits. And they ran into the pigs, and the pigs went squealing off, you know, and jumped in the water, you know. And the devil freaks out when he sees us coming. When we're walking, he'll try and intimidate. He'll come at us like a roaring lion, try and scare us. But in reality, he's afraid of us, because, you know, he's got claws, but we got a sword. We got the sword of the Spirit. We can stab him right in his claw with the word of God, saying, "Get thee behind me, Satan." You go, damn, that hurt. I don't know if he feels pain. I don't know. I might be making that part up. Verse 23, He that hateth me hateth my Father also. See, that's where it comes from. The devil hates God. And so he therefore hates the Son of God, and he hates those of us that are messengers of God, ambassadors, and also sons of God. Verse 24, if I had not done among them the works which none other man did, and they had not sinned. God, this King James is weird sometimes. So basically, if I hadn't done these great works, those people wouldn't have sinned. But I showed...
They wouldn't have been exposed for their sin.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what had not had means.
Yep.
Right. Because you don't know someone is sinning if you don't see it. But once it's exposed, then it's like, oh yeah,
but
you've
now,
been doing this all along.
But now they have both seen and hated both me and the Father. Because he came and he did the works, they've seen the Father and they've seen him, and they hate, their hatred's exposed. But this cometh to pass, the word that might be fulfilled that is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter is come, see, we have the Comforter. We have that Holy Spirit in us. I will send from the Father, he was talking future tense, for now it's now present tense, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me, and he shall also bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. And remember in manifestations this morning, God said, he called us from before this world even existed, he called us. Before he created the earth, he foresaw the day and time that we would be here and we would be standing and speaking his word. And so, like it says also in Romans 8, if God be for us, who can be against us? Well, we do know there's a devil that's against us, but his works won't stand. Our works will stand. There's a day coming when he's going to be in the lake of fire. There's a day coming when all the people that think they're going to be saved by following Islam or saved by following Judaism are going to have to stand before God. And God's going to say, why did you reject my son, the Lord Jesus Christ? Mm. Yeah, they have a come, literally, they're going to have a come to Jesus moment. They're going to stand before the throne and they're going to have to answer that question.
Yes, they are.
And so, do I stand with Israel? You know what? I stand with them that I hope they get born again. I stand with Islam that I hope they get born again. I stand with the people of Ukraine that I hope they get born again. And I stand with the people of Russia that I hope they get born again. I don't like any of their crooked governments, and I don't want anything to do with their crooked wars. But I wish them all the best when it comes to getting born again and becoming our brothers and sisters in Christ. So, Father, thank you for your word. And thank you for the greatness of what the Lord Jesus Christ made available to us. And Father, just continue to show us what's going on, how it relates, what current events, how it relates to the Bible. And we can bring things back to what the truth of your word says. And Father, I thank you for this. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.